You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Red Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
Well, good morning.
Good morning, Pastor Trevor from Morningstar Church. How are you, good sir?
I am doing well. I'm very grateful to be here with you today and for everyone who is listening, whether online or on the radio.
Yep. Now, I want them to know about your church, Morningstar, which meets at, is it 10 o'clock on Sundays or 10:30?
Yep. Morningstar Church. We are a church for Vero Beach. We meet Sundays, 10 a.m. We are located in South Vero, right off of Oslo Road, just west of Dixie. And our address is 698 Timber Ridge Trail Southwest. But if you just look up online, Morningstar Church, Vero Beach, you'll find us.
Now, you and your wife, Linda.
Yeah, Melissa.
Your wife, Melissa. She is a physician's assistant, correct?
Yes. She's
very successful at what she does. You're, ironically, the health field. Your dad's a doctor. Your brother's a doctor. Your grandfather before you was a doctor. But you met Melissa in college.
Yes.
And she introduced you to Jesus, which is a great gift of God above.
Mm-hmm.
And you lived in a house alone, the two of you, for 11 years. Now, recently, you've adopted four children. I was at one of those. No, I was at an adoption for two of them recently in front of the judge, and congratulations. What I want to know is right off the get-go, they say that we have a pandemic of loneliness in the United States. Were you and Melissa lonely with the empty nest, finding out that you could not have children on your own?
There's, without a doubt, that is one of the harder parts of, one, just being open and honest, dealing with infertility, desiring to have children, and you can't. There's a lot of people out there who might be in that same situation, and we walked that road for about 10 years, which is where, you know, we earnestly desire to raise a family, and we, you know, we cried about it, we wrestled with it, we've been angry over it, and we simply had to, you know, I think the Lord just kind of really told us we have to just submit to what His will is. And He led us down a path where we ended up having a natural conversation through a family member who once experienced being in foster care. And so we said, maybe the Lord has placed this burden on our hearts so that we can care for what we would call like the modern day orphan. There's a lot of children out there who have either been abandoned by their homes or, Lord, just need another place to be temporarily before they can come back to their families. And the scripture is right that the Lord has placed the lonely in homes. It comes out of the Psalms. And so we got involved in foster care.
Well, I think it's wonderful. Of course, if you continue it up, you're going to have your own congregation in the house.
Yeah, someone mentioned earlier we should have a TV show like the Duggars. You know, just adding two kids every year, you'll get to 18 or 19 very quickly.
Hey, you know, that's not a bad idea for a reality TV show, and I'll tell you why. Because it'd probably be easy to get financial backing. This would be great because we'll inspire others. I hope this show today, if it inspires one person listening to WCNO 89.9 on your FM dial, if one person out there decides, well, maybe we'll take a chance on this. I mean, these four lives were out there blowing in the wind, so to speak, and you were able not only to take them in as foster children, but they were available to be adopted.
There's many children who are available to be adopted. Oh, yes.
And what I'd like to do, too, is understand the ramifications. When you are a foster parent, you can't, like, for instance, I asked you if you wanted to come visit us in Vermont in the summer, and you said, you know, like last year, you couldn't really go. Mm-hmm. Now that the children are all adopted, you're free. You just, matter of fact, got back from a trip being in multiple states.
Yeah. You know, part of when the term, the legal term, is when kids are in foster care, and then let's say There's not a family for them to go back to. They're considered ward of the state. And at that point, you've got to really work with judges and lawyers and permissions. And if you were to go somewhere, I mean, they're pretty good at giving you permission to travel. But boy, you got to wait 2, 3, 4 months. And maybe by the time you want to do the trip, the permission was never given. And so you end up canceling. And so it's just better to kind of, you know, have a staycation and wait for a day that, you know, once they're adopted, go out, celebrate, go visit family. So we went up to North Georgia just recently, and then we also traveled the Blue Ridge Parkway. Have you ever driven on the Blue Ridge Parkway?
Many, many times. Love it up there.
I did not know this. There's a city in North Carolina called Cherokee. And I don't know, a lot of people go there because it's, I mean, one, you get a lot of Native American history. Apparently some casino over there. That's not why we went, but that's the beginning.
Where they got the last Mohegan, the last of the Mohegans, that great classic movie.
Yeah. Oh, really? Okay. So we started there, and that's the end of the Blue Ridge Parkway. And it travels all the way up almost to the D.C. area, and it's 469 miles. I remember stopping by. We all took a photo as a family there. And we just traveled the Blue Ridge Parkway all the way over to Asheville and spent another week with her family. And then we came back down to Vero. So that was our big celebration trip, having fully adopted our two girls. And then we've also got our fraternal twins there. And we just enjoyed it. It was a fun time. They got to meet many of their cousins.
You said two girls. You said two. No, there's Robert and Chloe.
Well, their adoption was last year. And so we now have these other two girls. And so it's like, all right, now we're all together.
It sounded like you had four girls.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. But... well, I'm surrounded by girls. I mean, my wife is a girl. I got three girls that are children. And then even our cat is a girl. Little Robert and I, we gotta be like this. I mean, this is like, we're talking about Last of the Mohicans. That's just him and me. So.
That's funny. And little Robert and Chloe are adorable. I forget the names of the two new little ones.
Rebecca and Grace.
Rebecca and Grace. Well, I think it's so wonderful. I'm so I'm living vicariously through the joys of your family, and I'm happy that you share so many photos. But I think that idea of maybe having some sort of a reality show about adoption would be wonderful, because my father was killed a day before my fifth birthday, and I was adopted. It didn't work out so well. This fella married my mom for only seven years, from the age of 6 to 13. But nonetheless, I know what it's like to be in the court. I was remembering that when the children were being adopted a couple of months back, and it's just really great that and you've gotten yourself a new van, large van.
Yeah. That's, and there's still one empty spot. I joked with Melissa. I was like, well, I guess we can take one more. So, it's very interesting. Part of that adoption day, I was really touched by not just the big support of the church family, a lot of friends. You guys were there. But there was a few other adoptions happening at the same time. And what was really sweet was a gentleman who adopted this 17-year-old girl. I think it's probably someone who he was just kind of taking care of, maybe. And I don't know what her story was. Maybe she lost her parents. Maybe it was, but you know, she was about to turn 18. And really, even when you can adopt someone who's about to become officially an adult, what you're doing for that child more than anything else is saying, you belong to a family. You're going to have a new name, and you'll have a support system, you know, not just adopting kids that are younger, but even kids that are older, because as you grow up, you need people to lean into and to seek wisdom and counsel. And so it was really sweet to see this other guy adopt this girl, and I was very touched by that. You know, something we see in the Bible often is when Jesus approached these disciples, you'll read in the New Testament, like, you know, Simon called Peter, and often Jesus, while he didn't necessarily give him a new name, back in the day you had a Greek name and a Roman name, like Paul was Saul, But Jesus does give us a new name when we are adopted into the family of God. And so Melissa and I took it upon ourselves to kind of give a name to represent who these children are. Often, you know, the Lord would have the Israelites in the Old Testament. Here's my Ebenezer. You know, we put a rock as a story of remembrance. They took dry stones from the river and placed them on the land so that the children would remember, you know, how the Lord provided for them, brought them through the waters and rescued them. And so we've given our children specific names, a family name, a new name. You know, we called one of our girls Grace because it's by grace we have this blessing of being parents to these children. It's the Lord. And so there's something very special about adoption. You get a full new identity. And
maybe that's why God changed Abram to Abraham and Sarai to Sarah.
Oh, yeah.
Also Jacob, who was a liar, wrestled with God and then became
Israel. Absolutely.
Phenomenal. I want to ask you this now. You own a Tesla now, and one of your cars is a Tesla, and it goes from 0 to 60 and literally, unbelievable, I mean, less than 10 seconds. Well, it's kind of like indicative of your life because you went from having an empty nest, you could indulge in your own desires, you could travel with Melissa when you wanted to. Now, all of a sudden, I've spent some time with your family, and I thank you for including me in that family. We were over at the Fountains over in Vero Beach on Royal Palm Point, and I noticed that your occupation, you are constantly, either it's Robert or it's Chloe or it's Grace, or, you know, it's gone from, you've gone from 0 to 100.
Oh, yeah. Part of it is just trying to figure out. I had almost like a midlife crisis on our trip in a positive way, you know, because you're like, you know, 36 going on 37. And then, you know, I'll be mid 70s if I were to relive my life again. And I think about, how am I able to manage these children and build memories with them? And I think that there's a big desire to do more with them. And I'm looking at things a little bit differently. And in the last year and a half, I haven't really had time to just pause and consider all that has happened. It kind of hit me all at once just about a month and a half ago.
And well, of course, you know, children, so I've heard complaints, you know, I've interviewed over 40,000 people in 30 years. And some of the complaints have been, well, you know, I was the pastor's child and I saw some things in the household maybe that weren't so kosher or so perfectly holy, mm-hmm. holy. We do have our human sides. And so actually it's kind of a little more difficult when you put that collar on, whether it's physical or just spiritually. First of all, the world looks at you. I'm expecting, you know, a more godly character out of you as someone on the outside. But then your children.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is A New Day.